In the past month, three black churches have been burned in Louisiana. It's been in the news. They have a suspect, and now the talk will turn to that young man's history. There'll be a discussion of mental illness, and everyone will express relief that the perpetrator has been caught, as if one individual were the perpetrator. But friends, we know that this illness is much greater than one individual. There is this idea out there that we in the United States have moved beyond racism. We even had a black president. But we know that as much as we would wish for it to be otherwise, the scourge of hatred and fear of whoever is seen as other is as old as the hills, as old as humanity. We cannot change the course of history if we do not acknowledge it and finally learn its lessons. So that's why we are seeing movements working to remove monuments to the Confederacy, to punish acts of violence against people of color and name them what they are, hate crimes. The burning of these churches in Louisiana, and these are just the most recent and most publicized events, the burning of these black churches certainly strikes a chord with us. Right, as we prepare to celebrate and dedicate this beautiful new sacred space, it is too horrible to even consider how devastating it would be if something should happen to our spiritual home, and if it were to happen as a result of hatred, how awful would that be? A piece in the New York Times quoted an official from the New Orleans Office of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the ATF. "I want to say to the individuals who engage in these types of crimes, you have caused pain and you have caused hurt. But know this, you cannot destroy our faith. We can have church anywhere," this official said. Dana Nichols is her name. She was raised in a Baptist church in Indiana. "We can have church in a parking lot. We can have church in a field. And as many of us know, when we're doing our building fund," you can relate to that, right? "We can have church under a tent. We can have church on a porch. And know this, we'll have church in the very parking lot where the building you destroyed will stand as a remembrance to us that God is still with us, that the spirit of life and love are still with us." Now, Jesus fought against that kind of intolerance and hatred. In Jesus' time, empire and religion were in cahoots. And I think we have examples of how problematic that can be. In our current times, think of the so-called religious right having direct access to centers of power, influencing policy on women's bodies, on immigration, on guns, education, health care, how we care for our environment. Jesus railed against this corruption, this concentration of power in the hands of a few. And he did this not by storming the palace gates, but by offering an alternative, by offering hope. "Love one another," he said. "Care for one another. Let go of greed, and you will all have enough because you are beloved, because you belong to each other." And this radical message of love and hope terrified the empire and the priests who benefited from the current unbalanced power structure. Jesus was a wanted man. His friends knew this, that Jesus' life was in danger, and as they made their way into Jerusalem, they said, "Why don't we just lay low for a bit? Make our way quietly into town and avoid detection." But Jesus said no. He rode into town in broad daylight on the back of a donkey. like a member of the royal family, like a rock star. And the people responded. They lined the street. They laid branches and their own clothing on the road to make the ride smoother for Jesus, I imagine. And they cheered, greeting him as a hero, as a savior. And this was the last straw for those in power. Jesus had to go. And he was captured, tortured, humiliated, and then executed. But his message lived on, lives on. We can have church anywhere. We can have church in a parking lot. We can have church in a field. We can have church under a tent. We'll have church in the very parking lot where the building you destroyed will stand as a remembrance to us that God is still with us. So maybe Jesus gave them that bold parade, that triumphant entry into Jerusalem, so that they could have a bit of joy before the terrible loss that was to come. A reminder of what is possible. The beloved community gathered, making sacred space with their own voices and bodies, a few branches, and their own hearts, filled with love and gratitude for a ministry that called them to belong to each other. In 2 weeks, we will celebrate and dedicate this sacred space, this beautiful space lovingly crafted and shaped. Some might say that we have focused too much attention on the physical space, that it was too expensive, too big a risk. And it's true, it was a stretch and a great leap of faith. And look at the results. Visitors finding us and staying, old friends returning, and so many children. All this beauty made possible by your efforts. At the celebration on Sunday, April 28th at 4 p.m., we will take up an offering, and it is my intention to share that offering with a fund dedicated to rebuilding Black churches that have been burned. Doesn't that seem like the right thing? Unfortunately, it is a common enough occurrence that a general fund has been created, and that does seem like the perfect recipient for our offering that day. Friends, we are blessed with so much. And this building has expanded our capacity to share our blessings with the world. But let us not confuse the church with the building. You all are the church. You are the ones spreading the good news of Unitarian Universalism at a time when a loving alternative to empire and its messages of hate is so needed. So saddle up. Let us ride together into town and let us spread branches upon the road and greet each other as beloved. May it be so.